Thank you. People are still bringing the Eretz Chayef, I don't understand. Okay, maybe I wasn't.
No, I just have notes
keep it
again.
Together.
Oh, we shouldn't bring it?
Huh? No, you can bring it today. I'm just not doing it anymore.
Rebbe, I lost it. I left it on top of my car. Someone called me. We found your safer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Say that. Hope you have the page from last week. I guess you could probably do it right now also if you have the thing.
I don't have a new page.
We were zeichet to begin Aris HaKadosh, Chochmas HaKadosh, where the first Torah is explaining the unique quality of Chochmas HaKadosh, that it's Chochmas HaKadosh HaPo'elas. That just as Hashem's Baruch gazed into the Torah and created the world, so too each and every one of us, when we study Torah, when we learn Torah, it can create, it changes, it's dynamic and active, it's Chochmas HaKadosh HaPo'elas. That's what we're learning in this first Torah. It brings a person into an entirely new metzias. A person wants that. A person is open to that. So there's a piece in the Shemoneh Kevatzim that I wanted to do with you. Every now and then, with each of these Torahs, we'll fill in with some other places it's found in Rav Kook's writings. So if you don't have, try to listen. It's not so easy to listen to. It's hard enough to look inside with Rav Kook. It's very, very hard when it comes to listening. So this is in the Shemoneh Kevatzim, in the fourth Kovitz, Kuf Tes Zayin. Ad Eis Ketz, Lo Yamud Shum Am Veloshen Al Raz Muflaze, until Mashiach comes, Rav Kook writes, there will never be any nation in the world who would be able to understand this wondrous secret. Shela Hevdel Ha'atzmi Sheben Yisrael La'amim Kulam. To understand the Hevdel Ha'atzmi, to understand the true essential difference between Yisrael V'Ha'amim, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. This is an area, an inyan, that people are very confused with. What's the difference between Yisrael v'ha'amim? And Rav Kook says that till Mashiach comes, it will remain a raz mufla, a wondrous secret. Because when we look at ourselves, we don't see. Oftentimes, we don't see what is the true difference. And whatever we think the differences are, that's not it. What is the difference, the ma'aseh, between a Jew and an eini Yehudi? Ben nishmas ha'adam legvias ha'adam. So Rav Kook says in these words what the difference is. But it's a raz mufla to understand it. He says it's the difference between nishmas ha'adam the gviyas adam. It's the difference between the soul of a human being and the body of a human being. That's the difference. Nishmas adam and gviyas adam. It doesn't mean, he's not saying that a guy doesn't have some spiritual character, there's something else going on. But you know that Rav Kook did not go along, or didn't, see, I was talking about Arishan, but the Kuzri, I'm sure all of you know that Yehuda Levi spoke about the Jewish people as being like the heart in the body. So the Jewish people in the world, the analogy of the Kuzri is that the Jewish people and the nations of the world are like the heart inside of the body. And Rav Kook didn't agree with that. Rav Kook didn't agree with that. He felt that that was not an appropriate analogy. It's nishmas ha'adam. It's the soul. It's not the same as the heart. It's the soul. And to understand the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, which many, many people get upset about this, they get all worked up about this. How could you say that you're different? All of these things. To understand b'chlal, what's a nishma sa'adam? For that, a person has to spend years and years and years learning to understand, to have a little bit of a something of an understanding of what's a neshama. What does it mean? What's a neshama? What's a neshama? So all the people that they're wondering, how could you say this between a Jew and a guy? What does that mean? Intellectually, politically, economically, socially, what do you mean that there's a difference? What's this whole inyan of making a chilek between human beings? All human beings are human beings. We're learning the Chabus Yosef Atzadik. We saw a little bit from Rabbi Chaim Vital in the Shar Gilgulim in the beginning. But Rav Kook says it's ben nishmas adam l'gvias adam. The analogy of a Jew and a non-Jew is the soul and the body. A Jew is to a non-Jew what the soul is to the body. That's the analogy. And if one doesn't know what a neshama is, then that remains a raz mufla. So it's a secret. What is a neshama? It always gets me a little bit annoyed in all of the write-ups and publicity that, you know, with yeshivas for little kids. They always say about how we're going to do the best for these precious neshamas. It annoys me so much, that term, these precious neshamas. If you would know what a neshama is, you wouldn't make it so hard for the kid to get into your school. You'd be crawling in the street, licking the kid's feet if you knew what a precious neshama it is. What does it mean when they say precious neshamas? We have these like letters to the editor of the Fruit magazines for our precious neshamas. Precious means that you put on a bow tie and a little pair of shorts and suspenders and you take a picture. That's called a precious neshama. A precious neshama that tzaddik saw, a precious neshama not just in a cute little kid, but in a Jew that was rock bottom, a drug addict, addicted to pornography, a Jew that has shom zaganev and eretzeach. The B'ditchva would hug such a person and say he's a precious neshama. Because only if you understand what Nishmas Yisrael is. It doesn't mean just somebody that's cute or that's innocent and that's pure like a little baby, a precious neshama. What's Nishmas Yisrael? B'nishmas ha'adam l'gviyas ha'adam. That's the analogy. V'ahevdol hazeh, and this difference between a Yehudi and an Eino Yehudi. Hu choyder me'ahekef haklali, it penetrates from the general hekef haklali of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish people, el ha'pratim kulam, to each prat, to every single individual. It's not just the difference between the neshama of the tzaddik and the guf of an Eini Yehudi, but the neshama of the lowest Jew who ever lived and the guf of the most exalted non-Jew who ever lived. Chayde me'ahekef haklali ala pratam kulam vel prate prateyam. And all the prate prateyam, the details of the details, Ela ishim hayichidim, by individual people, ela gedolim velaktanim. This roz mufla of a Jew, which doesn't excuse a person for any misbehavior, but I said a moment ago about the lowest person in the world. He's got the guy's a thief. He's a murderer. He's got to be put away. I'm not talking about be'etzim, who he is. It's a tragedy that in the life of the Gevira, in his life, in his physical life, he has done such a terrible dishonor to his neshama. We do a dishonor to our neshamas. Every time we say something, we do something we shouldn't do, but it doesn't change the reality. The reality is that each one of us has a chilek of kamim al nishmas Yisrael. So this goes to Eli Ishim Hayichidim al Gedolim al Ktan. El Gora al Chayei Maklolim ve'el Kol Tnuah Mitnuah Yisayim. This difference, this distinction between Yisrael va'amim is manifested in the general destiny and fate of the Jewish people, and all the way down to Kol Tnuah Mitnuah Yisayim, every tiny little movement and gesture. Even the aspects of life that are most kalim v'dakim, meaning kalim v'dakim that seem to be the least significant or least important. The neshama of a Jew has an impact on every single tiny little aspect of his life. Ein koiten begoidel. There is no smallness in greatness. So that's how the Maral and other tzaddikim explained it. When a Jew unfortunately decides to become a ganav, usually is very good at it. When a Jew decides to go into something he shouldn't be doing, ain't quite megadol. There's no smallness in somebody who's great. Somebody who's great, he's great in everything that he does. Even the things that are not good, but it's 5-star bad. The Maral explains this in Chazal Tal. Oilam oilam ad l'shamayim. When the Gemara describes the horrible matzav erev haChorban, how one of the most choshuva women from one of the most choshuva families in Yerushalayim, that she was seen going by the filth, by the shmutz of animals, trying to pick out something to eat, some grain from the filth of an animal. That's can't be masik such a thing. And the reflection of the Chachamim was on that. Kasha Oilum, when the Jewish people are Oilum, is Oilum Ad L'Shamay. Then we ascend to the highest, highest heights. Uchshiyardim is Ad L'Tahayim Mamish time, to the lowest, lowest depths. Because Ein, Rav Kook is saying, Ein Koyten Begodol. Everything is extreme. Everything is Neshamadik. When the neshama is poured into a kli, when the light of the soul is poured into a very, very dark and filthy kli, still it's the energy of the neshama. The energy of the neshama is astonishing. The energy of the Jewish soul is but so when that energy is poured into something which is ugly, kshiyardim, how could it be such a thing that Am Yisrael has fallen to such a place where this chosh of a girl has to go to eat from an animal? Is Yardim. And the Maral and the Kuzri explain that unlike what the philosophers thought, that there are four madregas in creation of Adam, Tzemeach, Chai, Medaber, not Adam, of Daimim, Tzemeach, Chai, Medaber, of inanimate, and plants and animals and human beings, speaking beings, there's a fifth madrega that's called Yisrael. And the inyan of categorizing is because we see in the world that when something loses its status, when an animal dies or a human being dies, it doesn't descend to the level beneath. It becomes nothing. So the mila of there being in creation that Hashem made this new metzias that's called Yisrael, the mila of that is Ad L'Shamayim. It's Ad L'Shamayim. That's the highest heights. That's the Chavetz Chaim. That's the Chasam Sofer. That's the Baal Shem Tov. It's the highest heights. The disadvantage of being a fifth category is that when you're not a Jew, if you're not using your neshama as a means of expressing that fifth category, that fifth level, then the Yerida is a Yerida, could be Ad L'Tahim. A crazy Yerida. Worse than, because when a Jew doesn't possess his Judaism, if he's out of touch with his Yiddishkeit, that means not just that he's not doing well, it means he's not doing. He's not himself. He's not himself. When a guy does something that's absolutely abhorrent, so they would say it's inhuman what he's doing. It's inhuman. It's inhuman. In other words, it's not even an animal wouldn't do that. With the Germans, an animal doesn't act that way. Because when you fall away from that level of humanity, you don't become a behemoth. You lose your entire existence, because the existence of a human being is he's an Adam. He's a medaber. That's who he is. When he's not connected to that, when he pulls himself away, it's not the pshat that he becomes an animal or a plant or a rock. The pshat is he becomes inhuman. That's worse. A rock never did anything. Doesn't bother anybody. It was a behemoth. A plant becomes inhuman, mamish. And therefore, the fact that a Jew has this thing, that the Kuzri calls the Inyan HaEloki. That's how Rabbi Yehuda Levi calls this thing. It means the neshama, the Inyan HaEloki, the godly matter, the godly material that a Jew is made of. When he ignores that, he still has that energy. The problem is that he's bechlal not connected. He's not connected at all to Dvarim Shebekedusha, and therefore his descent could be a descent that's un-Jewish, inhumane, and it's un-Jewish. It doesn't mean that he falls to the level of a non-Jew. It's Adla Tahaim. Tahaim is the Isis Hamavis, means Mavis. Falls Mamish this now, to the lowest place. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that what was going on with Dothan and Aviram and Jews, how there were such things going on in Mitzrayim, and he says, "Achein noida hadavar." So Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand why would it be they're such good people, why would they be in Golus like this, why are they suffering like this. He says, "Achein noida hadavar." There's something extraordinary. There's something unique. There's a Raz Mufla, Rav Kook calls a great mystery about the Jewish people, which we don't understand, but the nafkimina that we see is that just as there are no people in creation who are as exalted and who are as great, there are no people in creation who have suffered as much. There are no people who have gone through such terrible, terrible misery as Am Yisrael. Ma'olam ma'olam ad l'shamayim. From yardim yardim ad l'tahayim. To the lowest place. Koich ve'ashamayim, the highest stars and the dirt, the sand. It's just an Indian by Am Yisrael. There's nothing small. That's what Rav Kook says. Ein koten begodel. There's no such thing as smallness. Begodel, in greatness. Look, you see, by an Ein Yehudi, that there could be such a thing. You could have a guy, like we were talking about last week. You could have a person, like I mentioned last week, who's a great philosopher, but he's a lousy husband. Or it could be that somebody could be a fantastic ball player, but he's a total lo yitzloch in everything else in his life. And everything else in his life, it's katnus, katnus, katnus. When it comes to hitting a ball, it's godless. When it comes to paying rent or something, it's katnus. But there's something about a Jew, and even though we can't necessarily see this with our eyes and to understand this, but ein koten begodel, there is nothing small when it comes to greatness. Everything is major. Everything is big. So when a Jew messes up, it's big. think of the, you know, the kilkel that Oysa Ha'ish, the one from Nazareth, that he made in the world. And Karl Marx, I mean, these are Jews. They really meant that. When they're not on their game, it's really bad. It's really bad. The impact, the influence upon the entire world. Ain't cut and begot. And that's what Rav Kook was writing about Oysa Ha'ish. He got into such trouble for that. When he said that, when he's speaking about the godless of Oysa Ha'ish, he wasn't saying that you should give him Mafta Yana. You understand? He wasn't saying you should give him an Aliyah or something. He was saying because of his greatness, because of that Kaychus, because of the unbelievable Kaychus that he had, he became such a Rasha. It caused such terrible, terrible damage. Unbelievable damage. I once had a conversation with a former chassid in the country a few years ago. And then the guy was like with tattoos and all different things. And he had heard a shir of mine years ago, and he said, you know, he started a conversation. I was talking to him. The guy had a heavy, heavy accent. His English was still very poor. And we were talking. I said to him, no, ad kedei kach, you have to put a tattoo on yourself. So you want to be Machal Shabbos, you want to eat Nivelles and Trefus with a tattoo? You know, you could talk to this guy straight. He was like, it's a Haimish guy. I'm sure he still has Yapchik and Kugel every Shabbos. So he says to me, Rebbe, he said in Yiddish, so the way he said, he says, when I decide to become a Shaygetz, I decide I'm going to be a big Shaygetz, not Stam, a Shaygetz. If I'm going to be a Yid, it's going to be Adler Shemayim. But if I'm going to be a Shaygetz, it's going to be Geshmak. That's what he said to me. But then after he said it, he had a certain sad look in his eyes. He laughed, he had a smile, but there was a certain sad look in his eyes, and I told him that. And he said like this, he said, no. And he walked away. No. Which is another way of saying, I want to kill myself. Mm-hmm. That's what it means when he says, no. He was laughing, he said, oh, I'm a big Shaygetz, not Stam Shaygetz.
And I had a neighbor that had tattoos all over his body. Now we show Shabbos, the new Eretz Israel.
No, there are many Baruch Hashem that do. This Jew, I'm sure, will do tshuva. What's the shayla? Mm-hmm. The tell from is no. He'll do tshuva. Mm-hmm. He's going to do tshuva. We're all going to do tshuva. Ein kaitin begodl. Nishmas Yisrael neshomi yotzeresi. Now this is where he comes to the nekuda that we're learning about in this first Torah in Ayis HaKodesh. One of the differences, one of the great differences, Rav Kook is speaking about now that we learned in the first Torah, that is, and that's why I wanted to do this, to fill in a little bit in the background, that it helps us to understand this inyan of Chacham Sakaydish, is that Nishmas Yisrael Neshama Yotzeres, the soul of a Jew, he says, is a Neshama Yotzeres. It's creative. It has the ability to create. Lo Rak Mitzayeres. Yotzeres. You remember we learned that a little bit at the end last week? Yotzeres v'lo rak mitzayeres. It creates and does not only... What's mitzayeres? What does it mean, mitzayeres? It means, well, it's used for imagination as well. To portray, to paint. Yotzeres lo rak mitzayeres. It creates. It's mechadish, a new mitzias. Not only mitzayeres, not only painting that which already exists, not only describing that which exists, but what's unique to this fifth level in creation is its ability to create. That's the pnimius of the inyan of Tzelem Elokim, to be created in Hashem's image, the ability to create. It doesn't mean to create a yesh me'ayin, physical matter from nothing. It's a roz mufla that a Jew has such a thing. And the Shomi Nishmas Yisrael Neshomi Yotzeresi Lorak Mitzayeres. The nefashas of the nations of the world can be fantastic at painting, at symbols, representations. That's why That's why in ancient times they became very, and even in different ways now, they're very caught up in Avodah Zarah, in idolatry, in art, and so on, in trying to paint and to sculpt symbols of higher things. To be able to see the sun and the moon as symbols of something else. I could have to worship the sun and the moon. But Neshama Elokis, however, Neshama Elokis, which a goy doesn't have, a Neshama Elokis is also created by Hashem, but a Neshama Elokis that wasn't breathed into a non-Jew, a Neshama Elokis, Asher Elokim Chai Bekirba, where the light of the living God is living within him, within a Jew. And that's why it says, David Melch said, Elohim atem uvnei elyon kulchem. Elohim atem. Such a thing to say. Elohim atem. Doesn't mean you're a god. It means you're godly. You're Elohim atem. Uvnei elyon kulchem. Uvnei elyon kulchem. You all, even the murderer. Even the murderer and whatever the law. Bnei elyon. Come from a higher place, Bnei Elyon. You come from the fifth level of creation. Banim Atam Hashem Elokeich, Hashem's children. Nishmas Kol Ha'amim, Hirak Mitzayeres. When it comes to the soul of the nations of the world, when it comes to the nations of the world, they have the ability. Is what Rak Mitzayeres. To portray, to paint. Misaderes. To organize. To put into order. Oitzeres, to gather. Minatachas, to dissect and to analyze. To study, to analyze. And that's fantastic. And because of those kaiches, all human beings have the ability to contribute a tremendous amount to this world. Mitzayeres, Mitzaderes, Aitzeres, Minatachas. Lo Keila Chelik Yaakov. A Jew is not limited to those. Jews are Davka, not necessarily the most Masuda. Love Davka. Lo Keila Chelik Yaakov. Ki Yaitzer HaKol Hu. Yaakov is Yotzer HaKol. Creates. Kiyotzer HaKol. Hashem is the creator of everything. V'Yisrael Shevet Nachalosa. And the Jewish people are Shevet Nachalosa. Hashem Tzivaos Shemo. Hashem calls himself by us in many ways. He calls himself Elokei Yisrael. Rav Kook, for some reason, though, is focusing on this title that Hashem is proud of. That Hashem calls himself Hashem Tzavokos Shemai. That the Jewish people are his army. A tzava is an army. In English, they say the God of hosts. Like, no, I don't know. Tzava is an army. The Malachim are called Tzivos Hashem, and the Jewish people are Elokei Tzivos Yisrael, Elokei Tzivos Yisrael. The Jewish people are called Hashem's army. V'le'nikra Kadosh Baruch Hu Tzivokos Kim Al Shem Yisrael. And that title that Hashem calls himself by, that's only Al Shem Yisrael. Doesn't use such a thing vis-a-vis the nations of the world or the entire world. Only Hashem look at Tzivokos Yisrael. The armies of the Jewish people. Now, just a little nakuda for those who are Isaac in Pnimius, that it's brought down in the Kabbalah Svarim that Tzava, Tzadik Beis Aleph, Tzava army is the Isis Tzadik Ois Bris. Tzadik Ois Bris. And the Mida of Tzadik Ois Bris. Tzadik Beis Aleph is Tzadik Oz Bris, are those letters, Tzava. It's brought down the Kilis Yankov from the Malay Arayim and other Kabbalah Swam. Sadik Ois Bris means that the greatest fighters of Hashem's Baruch in this world are the Tzaddikim. And Amach Kulam Tzaddikim, the Jewish people are called Tzaddikim. The Inyan of a Tzaddik and the Inyan of Bris, Tzaddik Ois Bris, the Inyan of Tzaddik Ois Bris is Ki Kol Bashamayim of Aris, is the ability to bind together heaven and earth. A goy can't do that. All of the actions of a non-Jew, he's rewarded for all the good things that he does. That's gewaldig. But it doesn't have this inyan of tzaddik yisod olam, of tzaddik bris ois. He doesn't have such a koyach to join together heaven and earth. What every single thing that you and I do has an impact upon all worlds. The same way that every single soldier, even if he's a little soldier, his actions have an impact upon the entire unit or battalion. L'toyv l'ra. So when Chazal say that, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say that a person should look at the whole world, ki'ilu is half guilty and half innocent, and that you and I, with any action, a word, a thought, we could be machvia, we're able to bring the world over in such a way. So Namchal talks about this in Misal Shisharim and Das Tunis. A non-Jew does not have that kind of energy. He's rewarded for the good things that he does, and he's punished for the bad things. But as far as there being this cosmic significance and impact to every single thing that he's doing, that's only Tzivais Hashem. That's Hashem's army. Tzadik, Yisod Olam, Tzova Tzadik Bris Ois. That's the Inyan of the Jewish people, that they're Amech Kulam Tzadikim. That every single thing here that they do on earth is connected to Shemayim. That's something which is uniquely Jewish, that comes from the fifth Madrega. It's not in the four levels of Domem Tzomeh Chaim Adab. It's the whole world. It's Tzadik Yisod Olam. There's a famous story that happened once in Brisk, with Reb Chaim Brisker, that the Maskilim, the Jews that were not into Torah Mitzvahs, so they made a production in the theater. They put on shows in Yiddish, and they made a production in the theater in Brisk. And they were making fun. Those Maskilim, they knew Chumash. They were raised all as religious kids, and they knew. So they're making fun of what was in the parasha a couple of weeks ago by Parasha Shoftim, where it says that Isha Shebana Bais Lechanocha, somebody built a house, but he didn't yet, Well, the guy that planted a vineyard, but he wasn't, he was getting engaged. So all these people should go back from the battlefield, right? They go back from the battlefield, and they don't have to be at war, because they started something, they didn't finish, they should go back. And then it says, so the Maskilim had this play, and on the stage, they had lots and lots of people, and they had like the Kohen standing up and saying, anybody who, so they have like a lot of people leave. In other words, at that time, it was a question of like Jews going to fight the war, to go fight against our enemies and to go to Eretz Yisrael, the Zionists and so on. So the guy gets up and says, anybody who has built a new house, and then like half the stage walks away. Anybody who planted a vineyard, so then these Jews go, and they walk away. Anybody who's getting married, so and then it says, anybody who's Ish Hayor, who's afraid, Rach Halevav, means anybody, the Rashi says, anybody who has Kol Mishe Ish Averus Biyad, who has any Averus, can't go out to the battlefield. So now there are only two people left on the stage. And they're wearing, one of them says on it, Hagoyin Mivilna, and the other one says, the Shagas Aryeh. Right? One says the Vilna Gaon, and the one says the Shai Gezayeh. And they look at each other, and they said, nope. And they said, the only two soldiers who are accepted into the Jewish army to go fight, right? Who are qualified to be in the Jewish army, in Tzahal. So they look at each other, going in the shagizai. No. And then the curtain goes down. And everybody was laughing. All the people in the audience were making fun of the frum people. These are going to be the Jews that are going to go up to Eretz Yisrael. The religious, that's what they're making fun of. The religious cannot help out with the cause of going to Eretz Yisrael because none of them are going to fight. That was the point of the play. So the frum people heard about this in Brisk, and they were very angry. And there were maybe a couple of them were also at the show. And somebody went to tell Reb Chaim. That could you believe it that the maskila made this play, and Reb Chaim said what was by the play, and he told him this whole maysa, and Reb Chaim Biska was like he enjoyed it, he enjoyed it, and he said say good, he said the only thing is they didn't go to the next scene. What happened after the curtain went down by the Vilna Gaon and the Shagazaya? So the guy said, what? That was the end of the play. He says, nay, that's not the end of the play. The next scene is that the Vilna Gaon and the Shagazaya win the war. That's what he said. That's the next scene. That the Vilna Gaon and the Shagazaya went out to war. They won the war. They took over. They won the whole world. The Vilna Gaon and the Shagazaya won the war. That's what the Reb Chaim Biska said. Ain Kaiten Magali, you understand? The Vilna Gaon could win the war. The Shagazai could win the war. Tzadik Yisad Olam, Hashem's army. If we would be the people that we're supposed to be, there wouldn't be a whole tumult about who goes out into the army in Eretz Yisrael. It wouldn't be such a tumult. And the wars would have been finished a long time ago, finish up the whole Inyan. Tzadik Bis Ois, that's Tzadik Beis Alef. Only the Jewish people are called Tzivos Hashem. Lubavitcher, we like to call all the children in the cheder Tzivos Hashem. He made a whole thing with Tzivos Hashem, and he had them like soldiers, and they had them marching. He was like to give them that chiyus of being Tzivos Hashem. Tzivos Hashem.
They have an organization called Tzivos Hashem.
Yeah, they made the rabbi made all those things. He wanted this Tzivos Hashem. They have an emblem. There's a whole thing with Tzivos Hashem, and everybody else sits around making fun of this. In the meantime, those kids were proud and they were happy and they were excited. That's how it always is. Now look at the words that he says. Ein li Yisrael symbolim. What does that mean? Jews don't have symbols. Symbolim means symbols. Ein li Yisrael symbolim. We don't have symbols. What's a symbol? A symbol is not the inyan itself. The symbol is only some. It could be a thing, or it could be a picture, or what's it called, logo, right? Logo, right? Like a thing, and the purpose of that is to somehow to try to make a picture to capture what the inyan is. What the inyan is. So the communists had a hammer and a sickle, right? Which means go to work. You work, you'll be much lich. That was the inyan of the communists. So the symbol is this. So that when you look at the symbol, so when a communist looks at the symbol, so it reminds him, and hopefully it's going to inspire him and motivate him to pick up his hammer and his sickle to work. That's what a symbol is. You'll find that among many, many Orthodox Jews also, and Orthodox rabbis, that they will use that word, symbol and symbolism, very often in their drushes when speaking about mitzvahs. And the tzaddikim were very, very much against the use of such language. Yiddishkeit is not mitzvahs. The tefillin doesn't symbolize, the tefillin is not a symbol of something. When something's a symbol of something, you have to put on every morning, you understand? You could keep it in your drawer and look at it every 20 years. Tefillin's not a symbol of something. Tefillin is something. It's a mitzvah. By the nations of the world, everything is symbolic. Everything symbolizes. don't know, can you look up on your thing? What's the exact Webster? What's the, how do they say symbol? What's in English? Do you have to look up? What does it say, symbol? Do you have the thing there? What does it say, symbol? Probably they have a dictionary, I'm sure, on that thing.
You don't want to use the word brand, do you?
That's also, right? That's also a way of doing it. What does it say, Yoni? What does it say?
It says, a mark, a character used as a conventional representation of an object, function, or process, e.g. the letter or letter standing for a chemical element or character in musical notation.
Oh, okay, that's when it's in music, right? So, but could you imagine the difference here? I like that, Yoni, I like that, because at the end is very good.
There's a second one. A thing that represents or stands for something else, especially a material object representing something abstract.
Well, this is this. So that's exactly it. So that's exactly what Rav Kook is saying. So imagine, like, you're feeling a little bit down, chas v'shalom, and you really, really could use, you really would like to hear, like, a good lebedikah chasidish nigun, right? So you say to your friend, do me a taifa, I really could use a good niggin, to give me some chias. So the guy takes out some pages with the music on it. He says, here you go. He said, that's the niggin? Yeah, that's the niggin. That's the niggin. What is that? That's some scribbling. That's the niggin. It's a symbol of the niggin. It's not the niggin. It's only a symbol of the niggin. It's a musical notation. It's not the music. It's not the music. There are many people who they're very good when it comes to giving anniversary gifts, symbols of their love, but they don't not too good at loving. You know what I mean? So there's a very big difference if you're in a marriage where there are symbols of love as opposed to where there's love. When you're Yiddishkeit, it's a matter of being symbolic. When davening is a symbol of something or whatever, it's not. Rav Kook says, "Ein li Yisrael symbolim." We don't have any symbols garnished. No such thing as symbols. I mean, with Yiddishkeit, obviously you could own a company and you could have a symbol of your company. He's not talking about that. He means in the Indian of life, in who we are. There's no Indian of symbols. That's symbolic.
What about the ones on Rosh Hashanah? How does that
Shehem Rak, let's learn a little bit more. Shehem Rak Gormei Machshava Veregesh. He said the Indian of a symbol. The Indian of a symbol has nothing to do with the simonim like we're going to be having on the table in Rosh Hashanah. That's not a symbol at all. That's why if you just wait a little bit and think about it. What are you saying? That's not a symbol. Of course, there are many simonim. Like I said, in marriage there are also symbols. But when it's a real marriage, it's not just a symbol. A person can take the holiest thing and make it into a symbol. You can make tilna into a symbol too. And you can make an apple and honey into a symbol too. And the meaning of a simon is when something is lost, that's how you get it back, because that's what it is. But that's not when a person is not going into what it really means. Then it's just a representation. It's like it says in the dictionary. Ainli sel symbolim. Shem rak gormei machshava veregesh. What's a symbol? Rav Kook says a symbol is something that can cause a person to have thoughts and feelings. In other words, a poem is a symbol. A poem about love is a symbol, and you read the poem, and it can cause you to think about your kid, or to think about your wife, your husband, or to think about God, something like that. It's that's what, of course, says Shehem Rak Gormei Machshava Veregesh. Like the letters of the alphabet. The letters of the alphabet are not like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Those are symbols. Aleph is not a symbol. Aleph is a metzias. Aleph is a metzias. It's not a symbol. Hashem created the world with the letters of the alphabet. It's not a symbol of something. The letters of the alphabet, the Isis, are not symbols. Therefore, when a person davens, even in Lashon HaKodesh, even if he doesn't know what he's saying, he's creating worlds. Even if you don't understand what you're saying, when you say those words in Lashon HaKodesh, not in English or something else, if you're saying it in English, you got to understand exactly what you're saying. Because the words in English are symbols. But when you're saying the words in the Isis of, you're saying in the letters of the Aleph Beis, those are not symbols. Those are the letters of creation. There's nothing. Rav Kook says there's no symbols in Yiddishkeit. A symbol, he says, is gormei machshava veregesh. A symbol is something that causes you, can lead you to think. You see the hammer in the circle, the communist says, oh, right, I have to go to work. That's what I have to do for the for Mother Russia, whatever. I have to go to work. So he sees a hammer and he says, you see a symbol, and the symbol can get you to think. So when Chazal say, when the Gemara says that you look at the tzitzis, the tchelis reminds you of the ocean. The ocean, the blue, reminds you of the sky. The sky reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod. So Dov, what would Rav Kook say about that? What would he say? That the tzitzis are a symbol? The Gemara says, you look at the blue of the tzitzis, it reminds you of the ocean. The Chorit sounds like it's a symbol of the ocean. The ocean is a symbol of the sky. And the sky is a symbol of the Kisei HaKavod. So how could Rav Kook say that Ein Simbolim LeYisrael? No?
If I knew, I wouldn't have the question. That's the question. We have so many things that are supposed to remind us of things.
What do you mean? All the mitzvahs, Leman Tizkru. It says in the Pasuk, so that you should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So it's not.
It says that by Tzitzis.
To make sure it's not about the symbol, it's about the thing.
What's the difference between a symbol and the thing? When Rav Kook says, when he said these words, Ein Simbolim LeYisrael, Rav Kook knows about tzitzis, right? If you and I know this Gemara, Rav Kook for sure knew this Gemara, right? About the tchelis. And he knows that every single day, he says a couple times a day, Leman Tizku, you look at the tzitzis and it reminds you of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod, of Shamayim. So what would Rav Kook say about tzitzis? Tzitzis is not a symbol. The Torah is filled with symbols. You know, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to go to the Rosh Hashanah table, to the Simanim. The Torah is filled with symbols, no? All of these mitzvahs. No?
That's not the
etzem
what it's
about.
That's not the neshama of the mitzvah.
Of course not. That's not the mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah. The fact that there are things about this that can inspire and can remind, that doesn't mean it's the zach itself, it's the thing itself. That means the thing itself. The same way that when I look at you, David, I'm reminded of what it means to be a fine person, a good Jew, a nice husband, a good father. Does that mean, I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but does that mean, because he made a face, you really are, I mean it. But does that mean, that's the etzem of who you are? I'm trying to, these are nice adjectives, but it doesn't mean the inyan itself. But the hammer and the circle, that's the whole inyan.
It is. I thought it's also, you just said it's to remind you of work and whatever it's supposed to remind
you of. That's right. It does. That's all it is. It's a reminder, a motivator. Like every logo. It's a reminder, it's a motivator. It's not a logo. The fact that the Gemara says, and it's like this with all Tamei HaMitzvahs. This is why the Maharal was so upset about the whole inyan of spending time with Tamei HaMitzvahs, because there are going to be people who are going to think that that's the inyan. The inyan of tzitzis is not that it reminds you of the sky, or even if you tzitzis, it says in Chumash, Lamat Tizku. That's a fringe benefit. I don't mean to make a joke, right? But that's a fringe benefit of the fringes. That's all. That's a side inyan. It's not the inyan itself. It's not the inyan itself. The inyan itself, if you want to know what tzitzis are, so then you go into the Shakavanis of that reason and you start to learn the sugi of tzitzis. And you see what the tzitzis are be'etzim. What if you want to study what the inyan is of the hammer and the sickle? So what do you think you're going to find? You could Google that too. How they thought of that symbol for the communists and so on. But sof kol sof, it's a hammer and it's a sickle. And it just means, it means work. It means devotion, work, right? Hard work. There's no shark of honest when it comes to the hammer and the sickle. When it comes to what tzitzis are, like the Maral says, the kanaf, the edge, the corner, the tzitzis that are descending down from the corner, it's only the corner, the edge of something that comes from the highest world, from Atzilus, from the highest place. It's like that with everything in Yiddishkeit. The reason that a person can get confused about symbols, even a firm person, as I said before, and there are many, many rabbinical speeches, these next few days are going to be millions of rabbis giving these speeches about the symbol of this and the symbol of that. And the reason for that is because they're not learning Pnimiyas HaTorah. When you learn Pnimiyas HaTorah, then you understand there's nothing, it's a symbol. That's the external levush. That's the outer garment of tzitzis. That it can serve as also to help in such a way. But the tachlis, the meaning of the tzitzis is that in the tzitzis itself is the kisei hakavod. It doesn't mean that the tzitzis is the symbol of the kisei hakavod. It means that the tzitzis contains within them the kisei hakavod.
So it's a symbol and more.
Right, the symbol.
No,
the symbol is the symbol is the last stop. Is the last stop.
Well, is that, but
and
then,
but the problem is that a person gets caught up with the and he thinks that that's all it is. It's a symbol. Rav Kook is not denying the fact that there are things that are symbolic and and things that remind us.
But he,
yeah, but that's not the thing itself. It's not the thing itself. That's the difference. Yeah, yeah.
It's like when people get upset at the Rabbanu Shabbat about doing tzom, put tefillin on Jews. They don't understand what they're doing. It's like taking the symbol of tefillin and making it. That's the only thing.
Because that's what people think it is. It's not. But Lubavitch Rebbe understood, of course, and a million times more, it's a Roz Mufla, his mind, but what he understood was, like, you take one thing, and like when you want to make something, you take these two chemicals, you put them together, this is what you get. Lubavitch Rebbe understood, you take a Jew, and you take tefillin, and when you put them together, that's what you get. Not a symbol. Because everybody says, why are you going this guy? The guy's walking in the middle of the city. He's holding his girlfriend's hands. He's not Jewish. And the Lubavitcher walks over and says, did he put on tefillin today? And people are laughing. Well, look at this. What do you think the Rebbe is? You take a Jew, and you put him with a tefillin, and when those two meet, something happens. It's not a symbol. It's not just a reminder. Because everybody else thinks it's reminding. He said, what are you reminding this guy? He said, what's the tachlis reminding this guy? That's not what it is. Bechlal, not at all. Again, when I say not at all, for some people it could work that way. Oh, I remember when I was by mitzvah and my Zaydi put tefillin. It can work that way too. You understand that? But that's the last stop. The ikker is, the inyan is, that when you take a Jew, regardless of where he's holding, like I said before, he can be mamish in the lowest place, and when you put the osius on his arm and on his head, it's ma'ira, the osius of his neshama. And might not change it, anything in his life that moment, we don't know. But it's ma'ira, the osius of the neshama. Because the neshama of a Jew, like we learned last year, is all osius. And the osius of that film is ma'ira, the neshama.
So, Rabbi,
you're saying... It's matzah minas mino. It's when the oisis of the neshama come into contact with the oisis of the tefillin. It's a match. It's a shidduch, and that's why you have people that can be completely not Jewish. And I used to always wonder about that. I was because they started doing this a long time ago when the Rebbe made that mivtzah, and I was thinking, like, what are you doing? Like, what's the tachlis of getting these people, like, that they get the bochum out there all day long doing this with these guys, with people. Or to get someone to bench luluf. What's the tachlis? Because if your whole way of looking at it is that it's a symbol, which is, what's a symbol? A symbol is exactly how Rav Kook began this Torah. He says that there's the nishmas adam and gvias adam. A Jew to a guy is like a soul to a body. When it's just a body, then like why bother this body with a pair of phylacteries at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? You know, on Fifth Avenue, what are you hacking this body with a pair of tefillin? But it always amazed me too. And sometimes I remember because when I was in high school, I had a job in the summer, and I was working with a couple of friends in the city, and we'd go outside and have lunch. We'd sit on this ledge of the building down on the bottom. We'd sat there, we'd have lunch, and there was a station that the Lubavitchers had across the street, and it always amazed me how many people stopped and said, okay. It was amazing to me. Yeah, there were people that just would ignore them, and they would walk by and they would say, are you Jewish? How they, but how many people stopped and said, yeah. And the Bible said, you want to put on tefillin? They had this, each one has like his own way of trying to do that. And we would sit across and the guy said, yeah, sure, why not? Just like that. Like if I'm walking and I'm going, I have to get back to work, and I'm walking on Fifth Avenue, and I have to get to work, And somebody asked me, "Hey, would you like to wave my hammer and sickle?" I said, "Out of your mind." What's up with the hammer and sickle? Well, even to wave an American flag, they'll say, "Look, I love America. I got to get to work, you know. Give me the flag. I'll wave it later on. I'm going to have time after Mincha or something. I got to get to work." But what's up with that? It's a different mahalach. Yes.
Can I share? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to reach a certain madriga. I mean, they're not symbols. We have all these mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. And you have people that have do all the mitzvahs. Do they have a sensitivity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to achieve? When you see a little lady walking across the street, do you stop the car and you get out, irrespective of all the honking, and you walk them across the street? The symbols, they're not symbols, they're mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't understand
right.
In our limited manner what all the mitzvahs are,
right.
But they are for us to achieve a madriga that HaKadosh Baruch
Hu, 100%.
That's the tzelem that Hashem wants us.
Very good, 100%. Very well put. Every mitzvah is a hishtalshel, is something that came down from Oyesius and Shemayim, from Atzilus, from the highest place, until it became embodied in a physical thing. Even though the Jew doesn't understand this, he's not thinking of it, but somehow there's something about putting them on, and I'm just using tefillin as an example, it could be other mitzvahs as well. There's something that unique about tefillin, we're not going to right now, why davka that, and why did the Rebbe see that as such an important mitzvah? That's not for now, but every mitzvah is just the end of a long, long process from infinite higher worlds until it came into this thing. And when it comes into this thing, it's got that energy in it. It's not a symbol of something, it's the thing itself. It's the thing itself, mamish.
I think that's why, first of all, Rabbi always said, we say the shame you first put your birchu before you're doing a mitzvah. That also shows you that it's not just the symbolic act. And what a lot of people do is with the rule of an esrei, when they say the yiratzon before, you see that it's not just a symbol.
That's why we say things before. That's one of the reasons we say things before. Let's finish the sentence. He says, ki im mitzvahs v'tayrus. He says they're not symbols, they're mitzvahs. Mitzvahs for Torahs. It's not that Shir Hashirim is a symbol of love, even though it's a mashal, it's the Inyan itself. The Torahs, Dvarim Chayim v'Kayamim. A mitzvah, a piece of Torah, it's not a symbol is dead. A symbol doesn't have any life. It's a representation. It's a drawing. Torah mitzvah says Chayim v'Kayamim. Chayim b'kayom. Nemonim v'nechmodim. He's going there, like you have to, say after Shema. Nemonim, faithful, nechmodim, and beautiful, delicious. La'ad ulol me'alamim. And forever and ever, eternal. It's not a symbol. And therefore, he says, kelelosom klola, u'berchosom bracha. When a Jew curses you, you better watch out. That's what Hashem said by Avraham Avinu. The klola of a Jew is a curse. The blessing of a Jew is a blessing. The curse of a Jew is a curse, and the blessing is a blessing. It doesn't mean it's just to get you upset. It doesn't mean it's just to get you upset or to tell you how he feels. It means it's something. It's drawing down something. It is something. It's a klala itself. It's a bracha itself. In these days now that we're saying now all the time to each other, agutyur, ksivich simatoiva, agutyur, agutyur, agutyur. Don't think it's just like salutations, you know. When a Jew says to somebody else, I get Shabbos, I get Yor, you say Shabbat Shalom, you say Shana Tova, it's not Vertlach, it's Mamish, it's poil things to bring down Oyesius of a better year, of a good year. It's poil things in Shemaim, you say get Shabbos. It's not a Stam, Vertlach, words. It's not greetings. It's the thing itself. And then Rav Kook just ends. We're not going to finish it. I'll just tell you outside. They said, "V'chiyegalu Hashem, ha'atzino erchadish yor alav se'aris." That when the time will come for Mashiach, he said, the nations of the world will begin to understand this. And that's when it says in the pasuk that "V'nachal oida Hashem oidas Yehuda v'chel galad masakoidish u'bocha oid b'yishlaim has kol basub ne'Hashem." The whole world will be silent before Hashem. Kineim and Kach Hashem will awaken and reveal all of this to the world. And then Rav Kook says, the nations of the world will then run to the Jewish people. And run to Yerushalayim to try to, he says, If they try to catch with their tongues a little bit of a drop, like when you have the river and it's splashing, and you're standing on the side of the river and it's splashing, and you get a little spritzed, you know what I mean? So the goyim are going to come to Yerushalayim, they're going to stand and they're going to try to catch a little bit of the drops from the powerful current of that river of Yerushalayim. They're going to try to catch some of these drops, and to have a little bit of a sense of this Raz Mufla, of the secret, of this mystery of what a Jew is. And then they're going to say, uh-oh, sorry. The Raz Mufla of a Jew. And we ourselves, how are we going to, when the secret is made known to us, when it's going to be open and clear, this could be revealed to us. We should be zeicher for that day. Have a good year. See you, Mr. Chaim, a good goodbye.